to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled Turning Back into Christ.
In Exodus 16, 11 to the end.
The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes of frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. That is what the Lord has commanded. Each one of you is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who had gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. And on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they all saved it until morning, as Moses commanded. It did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." Nevertheless, some of the people went on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out." So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made of honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so that they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt." So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come." As the Lord commanded, Moses put the manna in front of the testimony that it might be kept. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a land where they settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. And in brackets, an omer is 1/10 of an epah.
We now have Colossians 2, 1 to 15. I'll read that and then start our reflection for us this morning. "For I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you, and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, Yet I am with you in spirit, and I rejoice to see your morale and firmness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you are circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you are buried with him in baptism, you are also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Ah, this one, I love the story of the Exodus with the manna from heaven. They're wandering through the wilderness for 40 years and they're not knowing what they're going to eat. And then every morning they get this manna from heaven. It's a real teaching of how to just rely on God as your center. Your whole being is reliant on him, your daily bread. And it's so easy to forget that. And they've come from slavery in Egypt where they've had to produce all the bricks and the food for themselves, and they've just been slaves and just trying to survive, and suddenly they're being provided for by this God. It's like, it must have been so liberating and incredible. Mm. And yet later on they get to then Moses goes up the mountain and they start building a golden calf because he's been gone too long, and they quickly revert to relying on themselves again instead of God. And I think that is what Paul is trying to say here. Again, he's like, do not be deceived, as for in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this morning, I want to talk about a little bit about hope. I was listening to a podcast from KXC. It's a church in London that I like to listen to. And they were speaking about hope the other day. And something that they said just caught me. This person did a study on the idea of hope in culture. And she said that sociologists have the stages of progress of a culture. So if a culture doesn't place its hope in something outside of itself, so like in the Exodus story, you know, if they didn't have any hope in God, they might build a golden calf or something. You know, if we as a country don't place our hope in Jesus, we are something outside of ourselves, we just start to look inwards. And that starts with activism. People suddenly have to just rely on ourselves. And we become empowered and we're like, we can do this, we can make the world a better place. And so you have this surge of activism. And then the second stage is this frenetic hyperactivity. That's where people just realize that their hard work isn't really getting them anywhere. It's not paying off. Like the poor are still poor, they're still hungry, you know, there's still wars going on. So I feel like we've been through that stage where we think like technology, medicine, the world politics is all coming to a more peaceful place. World hunger could be a thing of the past. And yet over the past few years, we've seen war breaking out, the coronavirus, and still lots of starvation happening across the world and natural disasters. And we realized actually, we're not the answer. So we have entered this stage where this hyperactivity is actually a distraction. For many people, it's to set goals and projects, but ultimately it's to keep your mind off the hopelessness of our situation. So you throw yourself into things, into different goals. For some people, it's the pursuit of pleasure. So it's just to feel good all the time and just to avoid reality and just watch TV all the time, or just, you know, to like consume other things to take your mind off things. And then there's a third stage, and that is a feeling of apathy, of aimlessness. So you've tried activism, you've tried doing it for yourself, you realize it's not working, so you try to distract yourself, and then you get into this stage where you're just, all hope is lost. You're in this stage of hopelessness. You're just apathy, like, oh, your truth is your truth. This works for you. This doesn't work for me. Oh, let's just live together as individuals and let world carry on? Is this like, we get to the stage where you actually realize that if we just rely on ourselves, we can have no hope. So why am I sharing this morning? Is it because it's easy to say, yeah, in Christ, in whom all treasures of wisdom and our knowledge. And yet I feel like I have been deceived by the culture. And yet, and I don't always place Jesus at the center. I don't always rely on him for my daily bread or even give thanks for it. And I'm taken captive by ideas, by theories, by the world having different answers and thinking, yeah, like Elon Musk, the guy who is in charge of Tesla and now Twitter, he might have the answer because he's a really clever guy. We rely on these like superheroes that actually are just idols and they're not Jesus. And Jesus is the only one who is outside of ourselves that we can rely on. And we are to be totally reliant on him for the manna and to be rooted, our lives to be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith and abounding in thanksgiving. So as a culture, I feel like we're in that stage of distraction and hyperactivity, and yet we haven't turned to Christ again. And I'm hoping one day we will. And that also, that apathy creeps into the church as well. What difference can we make to the world? Oh, there's so many big problems. What can we do? And that, yeah, it's a real challenge just to be rooted in Christ. And as a church, we are trying to listen to God's voice again. So we have a sermon series to do with how to hear God. And it's taken from this book as inspiration from Pete Gregg's book. And we also have the Lectio 365 app that is doing for the next 3 weeks. It's doing teachings based on this. So if you can listen in to the Lectio 365 and get that book or tune in on Sundays, we'll have very practical things about how to hear God's voice for you. And that is all about tuning back into Christ, that he is the one that we need to look to. So let's pray for the world. Whatever jumped out of that, let's pray for hope. I want to pray for hope this morning, for that God's kingdom will come in Taunton, in our church, and in this world. God, would you help us to realize when we are collecting manna that is only going to turn rotten? Would you help us to realize when you have provided for us to be thankful for that and for that to be enough? Jesus, would you convict my heart and our hearts when we are chasing after things that aren't of you, that are just a distraction? And God, we're sorry when we think the answer to our problems lie elsewhere. They don't lie in you. Lord, would you help us to rely on you completely? Thank you, God, for our daily bread. Thank you, God, for the breakfast we've had this morning. And thank you, God, for charities like Food Bank that are providing it for others. Jesus, would you be the center of our lives this morning? Would you open our eyes, even to small things where we need to realign them and think, actually, God, I need to pray about this, or I need to walk with you in this, or wait for you. Lord, I thank you for St. James's Church. I pray over the next few weeks, Lord, that you would bless it by allowing us to hear your voice, by the people that come through those doors and are hearing teaching about how to hear your voice through Jesus, through the Bible, through dreams, through the whisper, through community, all those different ways that we can engage with you, God. I pray that we would actually hear your voice and that it would change us. God, we completely rely on you, Lord, and we do this in your strength, not ours. We need your wisdom and your treasure. So Jesus, would you be present? Would you help us to tune in with what you are doing? And I thank you for all those that are going to come to the church. And for that, thank you for all those that are tuning in online, either right now or on Sundays. Or would they hear your voice too, wherever we're at? And God, I pray for a spring of hope, a new spring of hope in our lives.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.